Well, good afternoon, and welcome to a late Mother's Day edition of the Henry Raines Show here on News Talk AM 820. Thanks for your patience as we work through some technical issues here in the studio, but I'm glad to be with you right now. I see we already have a caller standing by. I'm going to ask her to be patient because there's some things that I really need to speak to right now, and we'll take your calls after a very quick break here in just a moment. But something very important, besides the topics of the day that we'll get into our guests, we're going to talk with Attorney Scott Bickford, who is representing some of the fatalities and some of the injured workers off the BP Horizon rig up in the Gulf Coast. We're going to speak with Bud Childs, just back from Hades. We're going to speak with Matt Bruce, who has been briefed by the St. Pete Command Center on procedures to mitigate the possibility of the oil slick coming our way. But most importantly today on this Mother's Day, I want to remember Pat Geyer of Holmes Beach. She passed away last weekend, May 1st. She was born in 1930, and many of you know her as the owner and operator of Duffy's Tavern on Holmes Beach, a landmark since 1971 in Manatee County. She is was a former two-time mayor of Holmes Beach, multiple times as a city commissioner. She was a volunteer with the former Anna Maria Volunteer Fire Department, was queen of the privateers, and a member of the St. Bernard's Catholic Church in Holmes Beach. And for those of you around the west coast of Florida that may not really wonder about the significance of me bringing this up on this show that reaches so many people, well, besides being just a very special woman, mother of five daughters, her husband, Ed Geyer, passed away about a year ago. But most importantly, that Pat Geyer was the very first sponsor I ever had. Pat Geyer, way back when, and this is ancient history for most of you and maybe irrelevant history for a lot of you, when I was helping in executive producing a show called The Bud Beck Show in 2003 down in the Sarasota-Bradenton market, she was a big supporter of that show, big supporter of an alternative voice on the radio. When that show moved and was no longer, and I had a chance to take over the audience that we had built, all the members of that show, Pat Geyer came forward with money right away before there was even a thought of being a sponsor. She sponsored me for 4 years when other people weren't even sure what I was doing. She believed in me, as she believed in a lot of the residents of Holmes Beach, the young people that grew up under her watchful eye as mayor, as city commission, and in Duffy's Tavern. On this Mother's Day, I want to wish all the best that could be for her daughters, Peggy, Polly, Pam, Patty, and Penny, numerous granddaughters. Her husband, Ed Geyer, I remember, before he passed, actually it would be back in 2004. Both Geyers were big fans of the show. They listened every day. And I thought I had a real scoop of an interview of an Iraq war vet who was coming back and telling about some of the atrocities that he had witnessed. And I remember Ed Geyer saying, just from listening on the radio, that that guy is just a crybaby. And I thought, well, Ed, you know, that's some pretty heavy stuff he's talking about. And I was like, well, he goes, nah, I've seen plenty of those guys. Well, it turns out after a year or so had passed and the individual's stories had been checked out, it turns that he was the fraud that Ed Geyer told me he was. So Ed Geyer, also the founder of Duffy's Tavern, got things ready for his wife, Pat, a year earlier, and now she has joined him, and I just hope that the Mother's Day and future Father's Day, they will find happiness and comfort in their memories, and also the love of all the people that came to know their family and the many decades past on Holmes Beach. And with that said, and I welcome anybody that remembers, that wants to make a note of that on the air, 866-977-4820. But let's speak to Christine in Newport Richey. Hey, Christine.
Hello, Henry. I want to say condolences to the family, and I do wish all the mothers out there a happy Mother's Day.
I got to ask, are you celebrating Mother's Day, Christine?
No, I'm not. I'm not married.
Okay.
Henry, I know that there was a subject I saw on Meet the Press this morning. I think David Gregory wanted to comment about the primary election in Utah. You know, Senator Robert Bennett was defeated by two conservative Republicans who are, I think had the support of the Tea Party.
Yeah, and let's be clear for the audience out there. This wasn't a primary. This was a state convention of delegates. You know, I don't know what the process of becoming a delegate was for that convention, but evidently Tea Party activists made sure they were there.
And when Bennett spoke to the press, he was nearly crying. They showed it on Meet the Press. He said whoever is the nominee or he will support. And David Brooks, the newspaper columnist,
right,
said this was absolutely outrageous because Bennett was conservative Republican just because he differed on some issues. He thought it was outrageous to turn this man out like that.
Right. Now, I don't necessarily agree with the votes here, but he did vote for the financial bailout, but he didn't vote for the stimulus. He didn't vote for the auto industry bills and things like that. So it was basically they just hung the financial bailout on him. And I think people now that say, oh, it never should have been done, really don't know how dire the circumstances or don't appreciate how dire the circumstances were back then.
Yes. Now, is Bennett going to run as an independent or he's definitely retiring?
He doesn't have the option of running as an independent. Oh. It'd have to be a write-in vote. And that's a tough hill to climb.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens. I also wanted to bring up about not only Arizona, but I heard, I don't know if it's the next week or two, the Republican Party is supposed to decide what city will be the host to their 2012 convention. And it's Salt Lake City, Utah, Phoenix, Arizona, and Tampa, Florida are on the list. Now, I'm wondering if they're going to pick Phoenix, Arizona with all this uproar over that immigration law. What's going to happen?
I think that's a great observation, Christine. No, I don't think they're going to pick Phoenix. It's not like the All-Star game, which has already been decided and would be a major move if they pull it away from them.
Yes.
But I'm not looking forward, not because of the political affiliation, but the idea of all these people swarming into Tampa and Tampa Bay for a convention just isn't a traffic situation I want to visit.
Well, it's a possibility because if some people think if they are favoring Mitt Romney in 2012, do you think Salt Lake City, Utah might be the chosen site?
Well, that's an interesting possibility.
I've heard that.
Yeah, there's a lot in play there in Utah this year, too. Christine, we have to get to a break. Is there anything you wanted to say?
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. On the other side of the break, we will be speaking with Bud Childs. He has just come back from Haiti. We're going to actually talk about issues outside the state of Florida for a change with Bud. Looking forward to do that. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show here on News Talk AM 820 WWBA.
This portion of the Henry Raines Show is brought to you by Callens, Little & Delgado, a full-service law firm practicing personal injury, family, criminal defense, and immigration law.
You can say what you want.
Tampa Bay, log on to NewsTalk820.com.
I'm Scott Callens from the law firm of Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal. During this season of high roadway traffic, you need to be extra cautious. You should know that Harvard researchers have concluded that cell phone use while driving increases your likelihood of being injured in a car accident by 4 times. Reduce your chances of injury by driving a bit slower and by pulling from the roadway when you must use your cell phone. You'll arrive at your destination safely, and your caller will appreciate the attention that you've given them. At Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, we help people who have been injured by careless drivers. If you or your loved ones have been injured in an accident, you may have questions. At Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, we want to help. There's no charge to meet with us, and our fees are based on a percentage of what we recover for you. Call us at 941-749-1446. Let us help answer your questions. Callens, Little, Delgado, and Opstal, 941-749-1446, or reach us at makeempay.net.
You're sitting in traffic, knowing what's coming up next because it's the same thing every day.
Yes!
Flip it to 8:20 a.m. WWBA for the big show.
I like the morning show. Keep us laughing.
I laugh a lot.
Hi, it's Mike Reeves, your host, along with Roger Shulman, Shayna Lance, and JoJo Walker of the best morning show in town. Local and national news, lots of laughs, and unlike our direct competition...
The hosts are not allowed to fall asleep on the air.
The Big Show in the morning on News Talk 820 AM, WWBA.
Wade Boggs, former Major League and now Hall of Fame baseball player for Bill Shields Roofing.
Hi, this is Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. Spring is in the air, and that means only one thing.
Baseball?
Well, maybe two things. The other being roof repair or replacement. I had my roof work completed by Bill Shields Roofing, the trusted name in roofing in Tampa Bay for 60 years. Bill's son, Doug, now runs the company. He is bonded, licensed, and has the same 5-year guarantee his dad offered years ago. Shields also works with Pink Panther, Owens Corning, so you know you're getting the very best when it comes to roof materials and labor. So if you're thinking about America's pastime this spring...
Baseball?
No, not that. I'm talking about roofing. Give Bill Shields Roofing a call and tell them Wade Boggs sent you.
Call Bill Shields Roofing at 813-839-7707. That's 813-839-7706. Or look them up on the web, BillShieldsRoofing.com. Wow, this year, Brandon Expo and the Taste of Brandon is shaping up to be the best year ever. There are over 200 businesses committed this year to display and sell their products. And my favorite, of course, is the Taste of Brandon, where there are over 30 restaurants that will be cooking up great food for you to sample and taste throughout the evening. Man, oh man. Now, this is going to be a great, fun-filled family event. I got to help this client find their booth, so here's the announcer guy to tell you more.
Thanks, construction guy. Make your plans to attend the Brandon Business Expo and Taste of Brandon on Thursday, May 20th. Doors open at 3:30 p.m. and go until 8 p.m. at the Special Event Center at your Florida State Fairgrounds. It's the Brandon Business Expo and the Taste of Brandon. Brought to you by Hoffman Business Services, Max Muscle Sports Nutrition, Sagicor Life Insurance USA, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, Renaissance Consulting and Development, Inc., the Greater Brandon Chamber of Commerce, and News Talk 820 WWBA.
Henry Rain Show here, News Talk AM 820 WWBA, website newstalk820.com. We don't want to waste any more time. Let's go right to the phone lines. Our next guest, Bud Childs, is the head of the Lawton Childs Foundation. The website for that is lawtonchilds.org. And, of course, you've heard him here talking about his Million Steps for Florida Kids. Worsttofirst.org is the website for that. And, Bud Childs, thanks for joining us right now. I know you have a few words you wanted to say before we get into issues.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the passing of Pat Geyer. You know, we all knew Pat and loved her. She was an icon on Anna Marie Island for, oh gosh, longer time than we can remember, and also a great community citizen. So I just want to say, you know, that Anna Maria and Manatee County is going to really miss Pat Geyer.
And I think your father's picture still hangs inside Duffy's Tavern with that He Coon label over top of it.
That's right. Absolutely.
So let's find out. You've been out of the state. Where would you go? What'd you do?
Yeah, you know, Henry, I've had a really heart for Haiti for a long time. I started going down to Haiti in the late '80s when my dad was in the Senate, and then when he was governor, I got to make some trips. But I also had responsibility for Haiti and the Caribbean and the international charity that I ran a global slice of. So when the disaster hit down there, I got a call from some friends that are close to President Clinton and got to know a great American named Dr. Paul Farmer, who is Clinton's deputy for the Haitian envoy, and he's also the head of a group called Partners in Health, which is a Boston-based organization that has been doing extraordinary work for healthcare in Haiti for probably 20 years. So I got involved trying to help coordinate resources going down to Haiti, and actually gotten a lot more involved than I probably have the bandwidth for. But it's exciting because there's $14 billion coming into Haiti from our government and foreign governments around the world, and a real opportunity to help that country to rebuild what they've really never had, which is a healthcare infrastructure, educational infrastructure, you know, get their agricultural economy going and their ports and airports rebuilt. So Haiti's a great country. They're great people, and this is an opportunity a disaster that could turn into an opportunity for change there.
Well, who's directing the reconstruction for the healthcare industry, et cetera?
Well, there's a commission set up that President Clinton is the one of the key designees for. On the other side is the Haitian president, Préval, and his prime minister. And underneath them is a commission made up of six foreign governments, several members of the diaspora of Haiti, the Haitian government, and groups like the UN. And there are clusters in that commission for every topic that you can think of, from transportation to sanitation to basic health care, disaster relief, as well as, you know, the going forward job training, education, health care.
Now, the Clinton Global Initiative has worked with many third world countries and developing countries. Is there any cross-pollination from that organization with what's going on down in Haiti?
You know, there's a tremendous amount of that. I was able to attend a meeting with President Clinton and Paul Farmer in Palm Beach about a week after the earthquake. And there were Irish businessmen and Brits and Italians and Canadians and French. And a lot of those people are connected to the Clinton Global Initiative. For example, Dennis O'Brien, who is the CEO of an organization called Digicel, which is an Irish European cell phone company that probably has the largest, some of the largest market share in the Caribbean and Haiti. He chaired the meeting that I attended. So you're absolutely right. There are many, many international organizations connected to the CGI.
Now, how wide an area did you tour when you were in Haiti this time?
Well, this time I actually got outside Port-au-Prince. My last trip, I spent 2 days just touring through Port-au-Prince to see the extent of the disaster and really talk to Haitian folks on the ground, and as well as meet with our government. But on this trip, I went out to the Central Plateau outside of Port-au-Prince, and there's an area up there, towns like Mirebalais and Conge and Hinchy, where the disaster happened, but where it's hoped that a lot of people could move from Port-au-Prince into those regions outside of Port-au-Prince. They have a great healthcare infrastructure in the Central Plateau. It's only about probably a two-hour drive from Port-au-Prince, but it's an opportunity for agriculture out there. There is a healthcare infrastructure. There is a burgeoning educational infrastructure out there. So I'm now in discussions with people like the University of Miami, their MediShare program, some international companies that are interested in coming in and doing infrastructure. And it's kind of cool. We're talking to Goodwill Industries, really based there in Manatee County. They're interested in working up a program where they could move as many as 400 jobs to Haiti to do their softly used clothing business, to process that down there. So there are some really cool Florida connections that I think Florida is going to not only help Haiti, but also Florida is going to prosper from jobs that are created in Florida to help source materials for the rebuilding of Haiti.
But I'm going to throw you something way out of left field here. It just came to me as an impulsive thought. Have you ever heard of Agape Flights down in the Manatee-Sarasota area?
I have. I actually have. I've been able to connect to some of the people that early on after the disaster, those flights were extraordinarily helpful in getting doctors and some emergency supplies down there.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure you're aware of that. What about the situation with the hurricane season coming and the cleanup? I mean, are the people still just out in open fields? Is there any solution for housing for them in this series?
You know, you just painted a very, very critical problem, Henry. There's 700,000 people living in displaced settlement camps within Port-au-Prince, another 600,000 people living just outside Port-au-Prince. So you got total close to 1.5 million people that are living in camps. And when we say camps, the best is a tent all the way down to just like a piece of tarp. So what's happening, as you know, is the rainy season is coming. If it's not here already, it's coming very soon. And a lot of those people are in low-lying areas, absolutely in harm's way. So one of the real struggles and challenges is going to be get the people that are in the most critical positions in low-lying areas living like that in those camps move to higher ground. They're scrambling to build temporary shelters for, and then of course we've got the hurricane season coming later. So that's going to be job one, is just trying to continue to save lives down there.
Let's shift back to Florida for a moment. By the way, we're speaking with Bud Childs. The websites are lawtonchilds.org, worstoffirst.org, And two questions. The first one, quickly, I hope. Do you know where you're going next on your walk for Florida Kids and Education?
Next, I'm going to Palm Beach. On the 13th and 14th, I'll be in Miami and Palm Beach County.
Okay. And then I guess more importantly in our current situation, the disaster in the Gulf, the oil gusher on the ocean floor, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that, you know, as you know, and I've been talking on your show a lot about this, I think there's a profound connection between money and what money has done to our political system. And this is a classic example. All these people that were screaming, you know, drill, baby, drill. The fact is, Henry, if you go to the North Sea or even you go off the coast of Brazil and Venezuela, they have offshore drilling, but they have safeguards in place and those that would have prevented this. We got buffaloed in the Gulf. We got lobbied to allow a drilling rig. This is the most ridiculous thing. I mean, you know my brother, Ed. There are hundreds of thousands of people like him that are sick to their stomach that can't sleep at night because they're worried about complete financial ruin from this oil slick when we could have had a few million dollars more spent to have some safeguards on that thing like they have in the North Sea and other places. So to me, this is a classic example. We should not be doing offshore drilling if we don't have a way to stop a disaster. It's way too big of a price to pay. So I wonder what, you know, some of the people are saying now. I think maybe some of the people that were saying drill, baby, drill should be in T-shirts not cleaning up the oil slick.
Well, and specifically what you're addressing with the North Sea and off Brazil is a remote shut-off system,
right,
as opposed to what's on the rig itself, which is required. It costs an extra $500,000 for them to install it, but when it can cost $250 to $500 million to set the rig up and do the drilling, that's a pretty small percentage for insurance. But anyway, I want to thank you for your time. But on the other side, I'm going to be speaking with Attorney Scott Bickford, who represents one of the deceased workers and several of the injured ones up there in New Orleans. So we'll explore it more with him on what could have been done. But anyway,
okay.
LawtonChiles.org, worsttofirst.org. Sorry we got a late start today, bud. We'll make up for it next time.
Henry, good to talk to you. Take care.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go quickly here to Charlie. What'd you want to say? Charlie dropped off. All right, on the other side of the break, Attorney Scott Bickford, New Orleans, representing the workers in this case.
This portion of the Henry Rain Show is brought to you by Canada Med Services. Save up to 70% on your prescriptions. Call 1-877-917-3600.
Bland or bold, ordinary or out there, sparkler or bottle rocket, thumb wrestler or ninja warrior, mayo or Miracle Whip. When you have a sandwich, you have a choice. Something that blends in, or the one that stands out. So what's it gonna be?
Just let it go.
Are you up for some sandwich kick and flavor? Are you Miracle Whip?
Paying too much for your prescription medication? Call Canada Med Services, 877-917-3600. Save up to 70% on your prescription. Call 877-917-3600. In their sixth year of saving customers money on medications, Canada Med Services, 877-917-3600. Guaranteed delivery. Government inspected and approved factories. Save up to 70% on your prescription. Call 877-917-3600.
Log on to NewsTalk820.com.
My mama done told me when I was in knee pants. My mama done told me, she said, son, a woman will sweet talk.
Henry Rain Show, Nick pulling out songs out of the hat there. I don't know where he gets all this stuff. Henry Rain Show here, News Talk AM 820 WWBA, the website newstalk820.com. Live web stream, webcam is up there for you. And I'm very excited to bring you the next guest, Attorney Scott Bickford of the Martzel & Bickford Law Firm of New Orleans, is a trial attorney with over 25 years representing injured workers and families in environmental cases. He's represented individuals exposed to asbestos, welding fumes, toxic substances. He's tried numerous cases on this. He also has represented Senator Mary Landrieu of of Louisiana in election issues, and done much litigation in regards to oil and gas royalty disputes, commercial oil and gas disputes, and as well as some criminal defense. The website for the law firm is mbfirm.com. We'll give you that again if you want to find out more about the firm or have a related issue. But Scott Bickford, thank you for making time on the Henry Raines Show today.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I hope you are.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone.
Absolutely. And before we go into the issues of the case, yeah, you're there in New Orleans. You're right on the front row of what's happening. What's your sense of the feelings of the community there about the offshore drilling? It's hard for us down here in this part of Florida to have a sense of the geography and how much damage. Sometimes we're hearing it's reaching some islands, and we don't really know how that relates to the bigger coastline. And then how are the mitigation efforts working? Are they having any success?
Well, right now we're all very, very thankful that there's a north wind and a big front came through. It's very cool here today, and the north wind is blowing, and hopefully it's blowing the waves and the oil out further into the Gulf. The practical reality of it is that the oil has reached the Chandelier Islands, which is a very, very small island chain in the middle of this bay that is between Louisiana and Mississippi. And there's not much left of the Chandelier Islands, unfortunately, because Katrina took a lot of them out. But we're getting some sheen there. Interestingly, a lot of the oil, according to the people I'm working with, who are marine biologists who are in contact with NOAA, a lot of the oil isn't reaching the surface. It's percolating out and going on these aquifers under the Gulf. And we're seeing some oil getting to the top, but they, the marine biologists, have this concern that a lot of it's getting trapped in various layers under the Gulf, and they don't know where it's going. And they're afraid that it's just going to resurface during storms at some point. And of course, the biggest concern for you all and the biggest concern for everybody is that it gets into the loop current and it goes into the Gulf Stream, and then, you know, then the people in Nantucket who are worried about windmills, they have a lot more to worry about. But I think that, you know, that's how things are right now. It hasn't hit the beaches. The fishermen and oystermen are, of course, very concerned because large areas of the fishing, large areas of commercial fishing have been shut down. Oyster leases in Plaquemines Parish, which is the boot of Louisiana, as you look at it, that goes out into the Gulf. On the east side of that boot, all of the oyster leases have been closed down. We're fearful that it's going to go into the estuaries and the marshes that are along there, which are some of the most that we have, which is the breeding ground for brown shrimp. It's a breeding ground for a large number of fish species, and in the brown pelican, which of course is the state bird of Louisiana, has very large nesting areas there. So everyone's concerned that this sheet of crude is going to come in to that area. But as I said, there's not as much crude on the surface as we see.
Scott, before I ask you about the case again, let me just clarify one thing. You're saying that the oil is percolating into the aquifer below the ocean floor instead of coming out the top. How does it get into the aquifer?
Well, not the aquifer. It's going into these. It's going in these areas of. If I said aquifer, I misspoke. It's going into there. There are various from a mile down, which is where the oil is coming up to the surface of the ocean. There are various strata of currents and temperatures and uplifts and downlifts within the Gulf, and it's getting the talk is of the NOAA people and of, you know, my our marine biologists who are consulting with us, is it's getting trapped in these layers, and that not all of it is to the surface, and that a lot of it is getting getting moved by currents below the surface of the water to various other areas.
Okay. All right. So who are you representing in this accident?
Well, I have two personal injury clients. I have a personal injury client who was the last person off the rig, who happened to have been the chief electrician on the rig, and I have a one of the death cases on the rig, who a man who was a floorhand on the rig, and that those cases are proceeding, as well as the environmental cases are proceeding, but the environmental cases, of course, are under this law called OPA, which is the Oil Field Pollution Act, which was enacted after the Exxon Valdez case.
And a couple of general questions about the crew. Were they union members?
No. Generally, most offshore people are not unionized. They're seamen because the a rig such as this is a floating vessel and it's considered a ship under the law. So these guys are what are called Jones Act seamen. And Jones Act seamen have one particular thing that nobody else has, no other worker in the United States has, which is the right to sue their employer directly. Everyone else has to file for workman's compensation. Jones Act seamen get to file suit against their employer because they live and work in the same place, and their employer has control over their place of work and their place of living 24/7.
Now, the crew in general, were they normally like residents of the region there, or do they travel around the country following the rig, or what?
No, generally a lot of these guys who work on the rigs are from lower Louisiana and various parts of Mississippi, and there are communities of people and relatives that work offshore, and their fathers worked offshore, and they work offshore, and they travel down, and they do these 14-day on shifts and 14-day off shifts, and they travel down to lower Louisiana where they catch a helicopter and fly out to the rig, spend 14 days, and then come back. And with the advent of cell phones and cell towers throughout the Gulf, you know, they now can communicate with their families where, you know, it used to be a very, very lonely existence where they go out for 14 days without any contact.
Now, just as a sidebar before we go into the accident itself, because I've seen this not just on some of the cable news networks where people want to float a sabotage theory, but I've seen reports that say, oh, well, there are foreign nationals on the rig. Do you have any knowledge of that?
There are people who work for Transocean and people that work for BP that are English, that are Irish, that are, but, you know, in terms of any conspiracy theories, I think that, you know, the fault of this is going to be one of company-wide faults from the drillers, from the cementers, from BP, and not any individual acts.
We're speaking with attorney Scott Bickford. He is representing workers that were involved in the accident on the Horizon oil rig. His website for his law firm, mbfirm.com, mbfirm.com. On the other side of the break, we'll ask Scott what he believes happened that night of the accident and perhaps what could be done to prevent it and what should have been done to prevent it. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show here on News Talk AM 820 WWBA.
This portion of The Henry Raines Show is brought to you by HurtByAccident.com. 1-888-280-HURT. Personal injury attorneys, they'll come to you.
If you've been hurt by accident and it wasn't your fault, you should know that not all negligence claims end in going to court. Most accident claims are settled out of court. And just because you have insurance doesn't mean that you will be covered for your injuries. Health insurance won't pay you for lost wages. Health insurance won't pay to fix your car or even get you a rental car if you need one. Hi, I'm attorney CJ Zaya. For nearly 20 years, my partner Kevin Gallagher and I have been helping accident victims get compensated for injuries caused by the negligence of others. And we do it for free, meaning there is no fee or cost to you unless we recover for you. Some attorneys charge you for their costs, not us. At Zion Gallagher, we charge you nothing. Our fee comes out of what we recover for you. Call us today, toll free, at 1-888-280-HURT. That's 1-888-280-HURT. At the law firm of Zaya and Gallagher, personal injury law is all we do. That's 1-888-280-HURT.
The new standard for Tampa Bay News, News Talk AM 820.
I'm Steve Summers. Join me every weekday afternoon for local news updates along with traffic and weather from the Weather Channel. We have more reliable and local information than any other station in town. So join me every afternoon on News Talk AM 820 to get the news that matters to Tampa Bay.
Experience the difference.
Experience the difference.
News Talk AM 820.
Hi, it's Dustin from Rapid Systems, your cutting-edge internet provider where you can get RSA high-speed internet and a whole lot more. Now let's go to the phones.
Dustin, it's Joe. Three's a crowd, Dustin.
Three's a charm, Joe.
Bad things come in threes.
The best things come in threes.
Like Rapid Systems Triple Play?
Absolutely. Triple Play means that whether it's fiber, DSL, or RSA, Rapid Systems has the right connection to fit your business needs.
Three blind mice. See how they run.
Joe, we're not the phone, cable, or satellite company. All we do is provide high-speed internet.
Three coins and a fountain.
Joe, you don't have to wish for great service. You get it. Want more IP addresses? A new domain name? Remote backup? Call Rapid Systems and talk to a broadband specialist without the bureaucracy or the BS.
Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
Joe, you're right. We don't monkey around. Call Rapid Systems today at 813-232-4887. That's 813-232-4887 for the best broadband service you can find.
Psst, I've got a secret to share. But listen closely and act quickly because it won't be a secret for very long. The absolutely best place in downtown Tampa to get a scrumptious breakfast or lunch is the Jackson Street Bistro. Located in the lobby of the SunTrust Financial Center at 401 East Jackson, this culinary oasis offers a daily menu of fabulously fresh food in a classy, relaxed dining atmosphere, indoors or out on the beautiful and very private patio. The friendly and efficient staff serves up distinctive, delicious, and unique dishes, as well as gourmet salads and mouth-watering daily specials you're not going to find anywhere else. For those who are always on the go, you can order online or by fax, with downtown delivery and catering also available for your business or personal needs. There's also free Wi-Fi for those who prefer e-luncheon companions. Visit their Pinellas location, too, the Eastlake Cafe in Palm Harbor. Same great food, same great service. Jackson Street Bistro. Hurry in before the secret's out.
Cable TV rates continue to skyrocket faster and faster. The profit on the cable giants has pushed consumers around enough. You don't have to stand for it anymore. It's time to push back. Cut the cable and get Dish Network installed free with absolutely no equipment to buy. Here's the best part. It's just $19.99 a month for an entire year. And you'll also get a high-definition digital video recorder upgrade for free. That's right. Call now and get Dish Network installed for free. And get over 15 premium channels, including HBO and Showtime, free for 3 months. Our Dish authorized agents can have you watching TV as soon as tomorrow. Call 800-830-9016. Just imagine all your favorite TV shows in crystal clear digital quality for far less money, and you won't have to deal with the cable company anymore. At $19.99, it's like giving it away. Call now for full details. Call 800-830-9016. That's 800-830-9016. Again, 800-830-9016.
Henry Rain Show here, Newstalk AM 820 WWBA, website newstalk820.com, also our podcast site, henryrainshow.podomatic.com. You can listen to archives, and of course, the current show will be up probably later this evening or tomorrow morning at the latest. We are speaking with attorney Scott Bickford from the Marchville and Bickford Law Firm in New Orleans. The website is mbfirm.com. Scott is a 25-year veteran of trying cases where workers have been injured in environmental situations, whether it's asbestos, welding fumes, or toxic substances. He's also litigated oil and gas royalty disputes, commercial oil and gas disputes, and he is representing the family of one of the fatalities from the Horizon oil rig disaster, as well as an injured worker from that same situation. So, Scott, there was a report that it was a methane gas bubble that caused the accident. What do you think caused the accident?
Well, I'm fairly certain from at least the accounts I've gotten from two individuals, and particularly my client, who was one of the last people off the rig, that in fact it was a methane gas eruption out of the well. What he recounts is that immediately prior to the explosions that occurred, there were a number of gas sensor alarms that went off in his office, which was adjacent to the drill floor, and then there was a huge power surge on the rig because the diesel generators started running at a very, very, very fast pace, so much so that it started to blow out light bulbs and computer screens. And the thought is that that was caused by the fact that these huge diesel generators that they have on the rig were not running on diesel anymore. They were actually sucking in methane gas as they're, you know, from the air and burning the methane gas. They revved up very high. They created a huge power surge on the rig, blew out a lot of systems, and then a series of explosions happened immediately thereafterwards. So, yeah, it's a pretty good safe bet that, in fact, there was a very large eruption of gas that came out of the well. That was probably preceded by a huge geyser of water, which seawater that they had placed down into the drill hole as they were extracting the mud. So that was kind of the sequence of events that occurred immediately prior to the initial explosion.
Now, we hear a lot about the cement plugs. What is the actual chronology of what they do when they plug one of these exploratory wells, and did anything happen out of the ordinary in that sequence?
Well, what's interesting is that normally they would have drilled the exploratory well, plugged one, and moved on. But in this case, this exploratory rig was actually asked to run a production liner. And for your audience, that means that they drilled an initial hole, they cemented they put a piece of pipe down. To make it very simple, they put a piece of pipe, down 18,000 to 26,000, and there's some dispute as to how far the pipe went down under the ground, starting at 5,000 feet. So, we're talking about depths of, 18,000, 20,000 feet under the surface of the seabed. And, they drill this pipe down, they cement the outside of it, which, so they case it, and reinforce it. And then they ran a production liner, which is a secondary piece of pipe that they put down through the middle of this exploratory well for production purposes. And normally this rig didn't do that. But for some reason, BP chose to ask Transocean, who owned the rig, to go ahead and complete this process. And when they did that, they were trying to close that production pipe up when it blew. What they do is they put a series of plugs in the hole to prevent the hole from collapsing at various stages and from pressure. There's intense pressure down there. So they put a series of these plugs in, and one of the big issues is that one of these plugs or multiple plugs failed. We know that they were at a 3,000-foot depth below the hole, putting seawater in, replacing seawater with they normally keep
Scott,
blood in there.
We're up against the clock here. Would you care to just take a few minutes on the other side of the top of the hour to tell us what you're seeking for your clients and any recommendations you would have for the future?
I'd be happy to.
Okay. On the other side of the break, we'll talk a little bit more with Scott Bickford. Also, the captain's coming up with what he's discovered about the administration's and the oil company's lack of following the procedures that are supposed to be in place in this offshore oil drilling. You're listening to the Henry Raines Show here, News Talk AM 820 WWBA.
Type it in, Tampa Bay News Talk 820.com.